This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From the White House in the Office of the President of the United States, we present an address by Dwight D. Eisenhower.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that.
If you have enough data on a person, especially biometric data, and if you have enough computing power, you can understand that person better than the person understand himself or herself. And then you can control this person, manipulate them, and make decisions for them.
Can you imagine that in 10 years when we are sitting here, we have an implant in our brains, and I can immediately feel, because you all will have implants.
People will literally be part of a network. All the bodies, all the brains would be connected together to a network, and you won't be able to survive if you're disconnected from the net.
With AI taking over many of the unskilled and possibly some of the skilled activities, then there will be people for whom there seems to be society. It won't have much use for these people.
We need to accept that there will be some pain in the process.
I think we're going to have to think about a recalibration of a whole range of human rights that are playing out online.
Individual carbon footprint tracker.
Many of these things will be built directly into our bodies.
That's a hostile corporate takeover of your body and a digital surveillance censorship dictatorship.
President Eisenhower tried to warn us about this years ago. The hostile takeover of a scientific,
technological elite.
They provide much more powerful intelligence for decision making.
Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? You will rule on that.
The next phase is surveillance going under our skin.
Now that we've cracked the code of life, it will not take much longer before we can start to play God.
The new powers that we are gaining now, especially the powers of biotechnology and artificial intelligence, are really going to transform us into gods.
It's a total, complete AI takeover of every facet of human life, like Harari and others have been saying.
Given all the technological developments, it might be feasible, even easy, to support people, even if they don't work, to give them a universal basic income, to give them enough food, enough medicine, and so forth. The big question is meaning. What will they do all day? And one of the answers is that they will just play computer games all day, virtual reality games. They will spend more and more time playing virtual reality games that will give them much more excitement and emotional engagement than anything in the real world outside.
But what I see is a huge disruption that is before we get to the world that Yuval envisaged in his description of the future. There's going to be a complete destabilization of the human condition and of human societies. This is not going to happen quietly.
Thank you. Alex Jones was right. People ask, what's it like to be vindicated? Well, it's actually a very sick feeling because I knew this was coming. I tried to stop it. And now everything I've talked about is going to become more important than ever because the globalists aren't hiding it anymore in policy reports and documents. It's now out in the open. Klaus Schwab said last week that they rule the earth. The Bilderberg Group founded Davos Group. So now the fight's out in the open. They're making their move because they know they're behind schedule. We're going to win this thing. God's watching. The children are counting on us. I just want to thank the viewers and listeners for your word of mouth and your prayer and your financial support, because without you, InfoWars would not be here. So I want you to really internalize the fact that you are the InfoWar and you are the reason humanity has a fighting chance. So I want to thank you and salute you again for all you've done and ask you now to redouble your efforts.
Stopped into a church, I passed along the way. Well, I got down on my knees, and I pretend.
It's hard to turn that off, isn't it? It's hard to turn those beautiful sights of God's creation and the beautiful sounds of God's creation. But I've got one more segment of news to cover here before Jay Dyer takes over. Let me get the news off my desk and play these last video clips. This was from Hillary Clinton last night. Now, folks, just listen to this statement. She's actually telling the truth, but not in the way. She's lying, but it's the truth, depending on how you perceive it, from Hillary Clinton last night. The people involved in the criminal conspiracy to overturn the will of Americans' voters, which culminated in the attempted coup of January 6th, must be held accountable. Are you talking about the people that stole the election, Hillary? Remember? Is that what you're talking about? Because she's right. It's amazing, isn't it? It's just incredible. Some other things here. A Democrat just tried to assassinate a Supreme Court justice, but that's not stopping the Democrats from encouraging more violence, like Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama urges abortion rights supporters to double down ahead of Roe v. Wade ruling. Folks, they must know, by the way, we still don't know the leaker. The leaker will be protected. It's a Democrat. They must know that, I guess, Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned, which really just means it's going to go down to the states level. So nobody's even banning abortion. So that's another Democrat Party lie. Nobody's banning abortion. It's going to the state levels. But, someone just tried to assassinate a Supreme Court justice. Michelle Obama says, double down on the protest. Yeah, we need more people trying to kill Supreme Court justices. Is that what Michelle Obama is saying? It would seem like it. It would certainly seem like it. Folks, they must know this decision. And boy, can they really draw up a crowd of baby killers in a heartbeat. That's an amazing thing. And then you had a record attendance, ladies and gentlemen, record attendance at a WNBA game because there were Democrat protesters there. Topless pro-Roe protesters stormed the court at a WNBA game and earned a standing ovation from the crowd, as it says in the Yahoo story. Folks, look, I'm not trying to make fun of the WNBA. It's fine. It's whatever. I actually know a couple WNBA players. But nobody goes to their games. They get like 500 people per game in attendance, and about 50 abortion activists bust to go to this WNBA game where multiple women ran on the court topless. Let me ask this question. Why topless? What is the deal? What is the deal with the topless thing? Why do they always have to be topless? So they run on the court topless to support abortion. Okay, that's what they do. But they forgot to glue themselves to the court, so they were quickly whisked away. It's the left. They're getting more and more out of control. But back to the liberal violence that we're experiencing. Do you remember this clip from Jen Psaki just about a month ago as we're sitting here still thinking about another attempted Democrat assassination? Another Democrat tried to assassinate a politician or government agent. It's what the liberals do ever since the Weather Underground, who inspired Barack Obama. Remember this clip from Jen Psaki just a month ago in clip 7?
So I know that there's an outrage right now, I guess, about protests that have been peaceful to date, and we certainly continue to encourage that outside of judges' homes, and that's the president's position.
Oh! You encourage it outside of justices' homes. That's the president's position. Oh, I guess now we know why the Democrats and Joe Biden have said nothing about their guy going out to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh. I guess that's why they're not saying anything. No, they're saying they want more. Democrats, I guess, want Justice Kavanaugh dead. And so then that brings us to AOC, who's a known liar. And this is interesting. So there was proposed legislation to send extra security to Supreme Court justices' houses because Democrats are trying to murder them. And so a bill was proposed to send extra security to their homes. AOC actually voted against it. And listen to her logic. This is hilarious in clip 23.
Now, I wake up this morning and I start to hear murmurs that there's going to be an attempt to pass the Supreme Court Supplemental Protection Bill. The day after gun safety legislation for schools and kids and people is stalled. Oh, so we can pass protections for us and here easily, right? But we can't pass protections for everyday people? I think not.
Folks, if there was ever somebody with a zero IQ, I give you AOC. Now, I'm more convinced than ever, and I was never really a big proponent of the theory that she's just a paid actress. I believe she's just a paid actress now. But that's not the point here. What does she say? She says, oh, we can have protection, but the citizens can't. I think not. What? You called for the defunding of police. You're calling for the disarming of civilians while you get access to armed security? What clown world do these people live on? AOC votes to defund the police, votes to disarm American citizens, has armed security for herself funded by the taxpayer, and then acts like she's pro-citizen protection? And see, that's the problem is, when AOC claims that she's been raped, I don't want to just disbelieve her, but how could I not? She's a known liar. And now she's claiming that she has been raped. Do you know AOC claims to be a rape victim? It's just how convenient now, I guess. I guess it's a good thing to be a rape victim now. And so now I didn't realize she claimed to be a rape victim. And she says, look at this footage. Lauren Boebert was tweeting the speaker's location as this all was happening. When I spoke of my fear of being raped again, she was raped? Who raped her? While locked in my office bathroom, she was mocked. Well, now, wait a second. We have the footage of AOC's office during the January 6th invasion of the Capitol, guys. And so let's roll that. Here it is in clip 5.
This was the journey that my life was taking, that I felt that things were going to be okay.
Fake crying. This is all an act. She's a total faker, an actress.
And that, you know, I had fulfilled my purpose.
But we came close to half of the House nearly dying on Wednesday.
You have all of those thoughts where, you know, at the end of your life, and all of these thoughts come rushing to you. And that's what happened to a lot of us on Wednesday. And I thought I did not know if I was going to make it to the end of that day alive.
Now, again, for audio listeners, guys, just give me the B-roll there on the screen again. For audio listeners, there's literally live footage right there on the screen, live footage from AOC's office right there on the screen where there's hundreds of people gathered, no violence, no panic, no danger. And she claims she was going to be killed and raped as she fake cries on a video. AOC is a liar. She is an actress. She is a danger to all things that are good and truthful and honest in this country. And by the way, I didn't know that she claims she's a rape victim now. She also claims that she's a Latina. Okay, Ocasio-Cortez. I guess we'll take that in a word. She's a Latina. Did you know she's also claimed to be Native American? She's literally claimed to be Native American. Guys, give me a doc cam. I have all this. Here she is claiming to be Native American. Okay, so she's Latina. She's Native American. She's also Jewish. She's a Sephardic Jew, apparently, too. She can't get enough virtue signaling victimhood. And she's also African. She's also African. It's amazing. She wants to take advantage of all the cultures, I guess, and all the victim economy that she can. She's a Latina. She's a Jew. She's an African. She's a Native American. I mean, oh, my gosh. And she's a rape victim, too. And she almost died on January 6th, though all the video evidence actually proves otherwise. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for my coverage here on the Alex Jones Show this week. I will be back on Sunday night with more continued coverage. You can find all the archives at band.video, which, of course, is all supported by you shopping at InfoWarsStore.com and PrepareToday.com. PrepareToday.com, very important website right now, folks. Get to PrepareToday.com. Jay Dyer now takes over on the Alex Jones Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Do you fear getting COVID? I've had COVID four times over 2 years now, and it is very easy to eliminate from my body. We've all heard the several nutritional and medical recommendations on how to protect from COVID. However, no one is talking about the one I've found to be the most effective. I've had two clients debilitated with COVID symptoms for days or months take our Green Meadow Whey protein powder and feel either 100% well or much better in the first 24 hours. That's a faster recovery than offered by any medication or other nutritional supplement. Green Meadow Whey is naturally rich in the protein called lactoferrin. Non-denatured lactoferrin is a protein that binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as defends the body against bacteria, fungi, parasites, and supports abdominal fat loss. I have found that nature always has a superior answer to any health challenge. Let Green Meadow Whey empower your body and immunity to the highest levels of health. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's B-E-S-T-W-H-E-Y protein.net or call 888-988-3325.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
And the arts and all of that. We've focused so heavily on geopolitical texts, the writings of the elite. If you go back into the Band.Video video archives in the last 2 years, you'll find many, many, many lectures from those writings that we've done. But today I wanted to return to something that I wrote my two books on, which is the influence of propaganda in film and literature. And what recently occurred was, as I'm sure many of you know, the fourth season of Stranger Things. Stranger Things is the wildly popular Netflix series, which took off 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, as a nostalgia piece harkening back to the 1980s. And what's interesting about the show isn't playing on nostalgia and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think we're kind of getting bored with that. I mean, basically all movies, I mean, Jurassic Park just came out. And once again, we have, basically just regurgitating the same plots, the same narrative, the same oddities. Once again, we have Jeff Goldblum. He's there doing the chaos mathematician shtick over and over and over. I mean, how many times do we have to see the same things in these big series? Well, what was interesting about Stranger Things wasn't so much all of the archetypal, repetitive 80s arcana, but the propaganda that they interjected into not just the whole series, but particularly seasons 3 and 4. So if you don't recall, just to kind of recap, the series takes place in a small Indiana town in the early 80s, in the midst of the Cold War. We have explicit references to the nuclear threat of the Cold War. And the plot centers around a secret program at a Department of Energy facility in this small town. What we find out is that the Department of Energy cover there is really a mind control tapping into the next dimension CERN type of thing. So it gets weirder and weirder as the series progresses. But initially, we have season one focusing explicitly on the MKUltra programs. It even comes up in the series. It's explicitly mentioned when some of the characters start doing research into why these bizarre events are occurring in this town. We have missing children taking place in the 80s. And in season one, just to summarize, I assume most people have seen it. I'm not going to go into too many details about the plot, but you have this figure who's sort of the handler to the children that he's experimenting on, and he's kind of a composite of maybe Timothy Leary or Dr. John C. Lilly or a Jose Delgado. And for those that don't recall, those are prominent MKUltra figures, doctors who were really involved in the program, perhaps even Dr. Ewan Cameron, who were directly involved in testing, experimenting on children, especially in the case of Dr. John C. Lilly. He mentions this in his book, Programming and Metaprogramming in the Human Biocomputer. And the idea was that if we could maybe kickstart evolution, if we could, even at the expense of abusing the youth, abusing children, or even giving them LSD in many cases, sort of spur on the next stage of human evolution. And I don't know for sure, but I speculate that this had to do with picking out, profiling high IQ children, particularly gifted children, and seeing if they were able to, kickstart or tap into the creative process of high IQ children or creatively gifted children, and then try to weaponize that. And quite a few TV shows have capitalized on this. And if you follow my work, you know that I've delved into the research of people like Dave McGowan, people like Douglas Valentine and his book, The Phoenix Program, where we covered the programs that the CIA had cooked up during, particularly during Vietnam, to create cannibal serial killers. This is a real thing. It's detailed in the Phoenix Program book. It was a real program. How extensive it was, we don't know. Likewise, other programs such as Dr. Thomas Nerutt of the Navy had discussed in public interviews that the Navy had their own separate program where they sort of experimented with psychotics, perverts, psychos to sort of train them to become assassins and killers. Tom O'Neill has a recent book out that kind of hints at some of this, where he details the it's called Chaos, where he connects Manson to various perhaps mind control type of programs. So we know a lot of this is going on. There are quite a few hard details that we can pin down in these programs. But as to who was in these programs, of course, that's up for debate. We don't know for sure. Some of the serial killers, for example, did have a role to play in certain mind control programs. Some of them were explicitly involved in MKUltra, like the Unabomber. We know that David Berkowitz, in his military time, that he did experiment with LSD, and then it did, quote, change his personality. But as to whether they were specifically part of mind control programs, the serial killers, that is, that's up for some speculation. But there are some details that suggest that, especially the timing of a lot of the serial killers being stationed in Vietnam and being given assassin-type training. Now, back to Stranger Things, the reason this is relevant is because the show is explicitly playing upon the Stanford research projects, which dealt with tapping into and trying to weaponize occult practices. Remote viewing was one that, according to declassified documents of Project Stargate and others, seemed to have had the most degree of success. How far they took this, we don't know. And there's some other bizarre documents that the CIA declassified dealing with studies into meditation. How real that is, we don't know. Again, it's speculative. But it's odd that this show comes out and that it was so focused on the abuse and experimentation on young children, particularly the main character being the girl 11, who is, I think her name is significant, that they're given numbers for names. She doesn't know her real name. And there's other, 10 other children in the program also given names as numbers. Now, 11 is significant. We could think of events like 9/11. And by season four, the first child, who's the man, the young boy in the experiment, is sort of the nemesis that she has to square off against. But what's really relevant is that it's taking place in a spiritual world. So there's a spiritual world known as the upside down, where the government experimenters are trying to tap into, or they're trying to tap into this. And again, this is, it's fiction, it's highly speculative. But we do know that during the CIA's experimentation into the occult through Stanford Research, through various mind control programs. We know about Colonel Michael Aquino being involved in writing the Army's psychological warfare doctrine from mind war to psi war. He was also the founder of the satanic sect known as the Temple of Set. We know that he was also involved in studying the UFO aerial phenomena, as well as studying elements of MKUltra. Again, to what degree he was involved in that is speculation. We don't know. But there is a clear connection here between the military, the Pentagon, the intelligence agencies studying the occult at a high level. And let's never forget the infamous Manus Derogatus, right? The John Ronson text that was turned into a movie with Ewan McGregor, George Clooney, etc. And that movie is full of references to this kind of material, right? You have the all-seeing eye throughout the film. You have the attempt to tap into these higher dimensions and whatnot, a lot of LSD research. Now, it's not successful in the film, but it is referenced pretty significantly throughout the story. And that is playing on the 1st Earth Battalion. That is playing on General Stubblebine, who was part of that program, and his research. So when we get back, we're going to go deeper into Stranger Things and look at what's going on. This is the
PrepareToday.com. PrepareToday.com. We have created a one-stop shop to get the highest quality storable foods
ready to ship that are in stock with hundreds of award-winning certified preparedness survival items. That's why PrepareToday.com is a one-stop shop. You can also follow PrepareWithAlex.com. It takes you right to the same site, and it's our huge sponsor funding our operation. So Americans and others can get ready, be self-sufficient, and fund the info war while saving massive amounts of money on critical items they need, and of course getting things delivered to them quickly because it's in stock. PrepareToday.com. The only way you fail is not visiting PrepareToday.com. There's not a question now whether you need this or not. You need it. Before, it was just a backup plan and insurance. This is an insurance. This is survival. PrepareToday.com. PrepareToday.com, and I'll see you there.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We're talking about Stranger Things, this weird synchronicity-filled show that sort of parallels to the Cold War that we're experiencing now in terms of a new Cold War. So the show, of course, hints and harkens back to 1983, 4, 5, 6, 7, around in this time period when the wall was about to fall. Supposedly the Cold War was coming to its end. And there were, persistent fears of nuclear threats, Chernobyl, right, the mutual assured destruction. At any moment, we're going to be nuked. Very parallel to what's going on right now with the proxy war going on in the Ukraine. Now, the show doesn't explicitly reference anything occultic until we get to seasons 3 and 4, where we bring in the serial killer narrative, which I'll get to that in a moment. But before we get to that, we have to point out that in season 1, the show initially revolves around Dungeons and Dragons, the role-playing game. And the children who are kind of the Goonies type of, you know, troop of kids that, you know, go on their adventure, they initially invoke this entity from the beyond through playing Dungeons and Dragons and through, you know, through this game, which, you know, deals with a lot of fantasy and whatnot. I personally, I think it's a harmless fantasy game, but it takes place right at the onset of the Satanic Panic, which was, you know, coming into furor in the mid-80s, especially when TV shows like Oprah and Geraldo focused on both serial killers and satanic cults, this leading to this panic and a lot of the so-called satanic cults and sects that were mentioned and discussed kind of turned out to be somewhat real. Although, in my view, what happened was there was a lot of focus on this and sensationalism that made everybody think, oh, this isn't real, this is all hyped up and it's just made up. But no, in fact, there were real satanic cults, and some of the serial killers did have connections to the satanic. I mean, in fact, in Geraldo's famous series, I think he goes into discussing the serial killer Bobby Burdella, and Bobby Burdella was into Satanism and did have a satanic cult, and that was connected to his murders, to the BDSM and so forth, that he was involved in these underground scenes. And this is something that we find as a pattern in a lot of these stories of the serial killers, which the media typically plays down. They don't talk about the cult element. They don't talk about other elements like accomplices and, you know, mind control, drugging. All these kinds of things are usually left out or played down. They always focus on it being the lone nut. They focus on it being these patterns that aren't always there or aren't really there, right? Always just a lone crazy guy. He acted weird. And they leave out the military training. They leave out the interest in Satanism and the occult. Again, this is present in so many of the serial killers. It is really implausible to think, it's really ridiculous to think that it has no connection. I mean, literally, there's probably 24 of the most famous serial killers who express an avid interest in Satanism, in the occult, in ritual magic, or some form or something like that. So to overlook that or to play that down is somewhat absurd. But in the show, it's presented as really not being anything serious in regard to the pop culture. And I would agree with that, right? I mean, the show goes in the direction of pointing out that, wait a minute, there's something actually deeply satanic in a real global sense going on. But it's not really things that the media told everybody to focus on. This or that pop song, this or that game, Dungeons and Dragons, right? I mean, those things might in a very loose sense have fantasy elements. But is that really what was the satanic, so to speak, threat of the time period? And the show actually does make an interesting point in season 4 that the real satanic threat is whatever is going on at this meta geopolitical level that is engineering the Cold War to take us into some kind of dystopian demonic future. It's almost apocalyptic in the show. Now, again, I'm not saying that this is the end of the world. The apocalypse can also mean the end of an era, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be the end times. It could be, I don't know, right? I'm not making that claim, but the show is talking about a opening of the demonic that occurs not just through teenagers playing games, but rather the real opening of the demonic is occurring through high-level people in the government engineering a new era or a new aeon based on their satanic philosophy. And it might not even be explicitly satanic. I mean, for example, the mind control handler character from the Pentagon in the show, he doesn't seem to be personally that nefarious, right? He thinks that he's working for the good of the country, of fighting the Cold War, of mastering these mind control techniques and the nuclear technology and so forth to fight the evil Russians, right? That's how he sees it. And so he thinks that the actions that he's taking are completely justified. And so even though it might not be pretty, it's necessary because of the global conflict. Right, the Cold War, right? And it justifies everything. And in fact, when we go and read the CIA and the military approach to mind control and MKUltra, that was typically the kind of rationale, the kind of justification that they would have is, well, we have to do it because if we don't, the Soviets are going to do it, you say. But so you see how this feeds into a, I mean, this could lead to the justification of anything, right? Oh, well, I mean, the enemy could be doing anything, so we have to be doing anything and everything. And if you study deep into the Cold War, you realize that although it was being fought on the ground level and amongst the spies and so forth in a real way, at the top, there was a lot of collusion going on that was an engineered dialectic. And many books have been written on this. This is kind of a known in academia. There's the famous book by Professor Anthony Sutton, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, right, where the Bolsheviks basically kicked off that whole revolution with support from a lot of Western industrialists and financial organizations. And other people pop up in the Cold War as kind of playing both sides and being involved in, you know, aiding this arena, such as the United Nations, such as Bernard Baruch in terms of the nuclear program, which Quigley goes into talking about. You have members of the Council on Foreign Relations being very pro-Soviet. They want to merge together with the Soviet Union and create a new global order out of the dialectical process of East versus West, capitalism versus Sovietism or communism. The product being the synthesis in the Hegelian philosophy, which underlies a lot of this. Other thinkers like David Rockefeller, as we know, as we covered last week, being very adamant about the positive aspects of socialism and communism and how this kind of a control mechanism might be something that we could look towards in the future. The Chinese socialist communist model being something that could be a pattern for the rest of the world. David Rockefeller was famous for saying that, as well as many other industrialists, many other very wealthy, powerful individuals in the West, supporting consistently socialist, communist, Marxist causes. And this is why many grateful, even philosophers, even historians outside of the domain of geopolitics, nothing to do with conspiracy, right? What does the famous philosopher of history, Oswald Spengler, say? There's never been a socialist movement that didn't have the backing of capital or powerful capital. And so that's, I think, something we have to keep in mind, as well as recent revelations about who the fifth man was, right, in terms of the moles in Cambridge and Oxford and all this, all the spy stuff of Kim Philby and these kinds of things. And what we find out is that people like Victor Rothschild apparently were playing both sides in the Cold War, famous spy. And there's many other cases of this, right? We have Anthony Sutton writing other books. Other writers have talked about how the Cold War could never have happened had there not been a lot of, you know, the Ford, for example, Ford helping to build plants, the Gorky auto plant, I believe that was built by Ford for the Soviets. So none of this could have occurred without the military industrial complex basically supporting the industrialists, supporting and building up the dialectical opposition to the American West. Now, if these figures were actually patriotic Americans who believed in Western ideas or Western ideals, why would they have expended so much time and energy? By the way, I think there's whole books written on how Walmart was helped by a certain Western, very wealthy people set up in China. How could that have occurred if the people in the West, the rich people of the West, were really good, you know, guys fighting for free markets and democracy? No, it's a game that's played out, you see. We're going to get back to strength.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Alex Jones Show. This is Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We are doing a deep dive into the meaning and significance of Stranger Things, and particularly the recent release of season 4 of Stranger Things, which actually isn't complete yet. There's a couple more episodes that they're waiting to release that will close out season 4, but we were getting into the Cold War dialectic, and now I want to go to the spiritual dimension, because one thing that's going on in the show is consistent references to pop culture conspiracy theory and pop culture images of the battle between good and evil. So, for example, the show mentions 80s horror films and the notion of the demonic and entities coming into this realm from the spiritual plane, from the beyond. We have reference to Tolkien and to the Eye of Sauron and how that's really sort of the narrative that a lot of the characters in season 4 utilize consistently. They constantly reference the Shire, leaving the Shire, going to Mordor. This is the domain where the demonic entities in the other dimension, the Upside Down, reside, and that they're trying to kind of incarnate themselves into this world. And so the villain of the fourth season is this sort of mix of all the 80s horror villains, Freddy and you know, Pinhead, right? We have such things to show you. All these different 80s horror villains kind of enmeshed into one, which is this demonic entity who possesses different figures and kind of does ritual murders. Okay, so they add this occult ritual murder element to season 4. And there's a figure who is a sort of this 80s metalhead guy who they initially think is behind the murders. He's not, you know, the one that's really doing it. I thought it was fascinating, though, that they brought in a serial killer ritual murder element to this season because, again, that's something that's very important in the research of the serial killers because there does seem to be a connection between the mind control experiments and if some of these experiments went wrong, that some of these serial killers had been a part of that. That's brought out in this season. It's hinted at. And we find out that number one, who's the, sort of the main villain, he's kind of possessed by this this Vecna entity, this demon from the beyond. And this demon drives him to do these kind of ritual murders and to display the bodies in these sort of bent poses. So you get these references to kind of Dahmer stuff, the way Dahmer would kill and other serial killers from the 80s and 90s and 70s, 80s, and 90s. And we find out that what's really going on is that the military thinks, this is interesting, that the ritual murders are being done by Soviet sleeper agents. So the military is trapped in this kind of dialectical thinking that, it has to be, you know, Soviet people coming after us. And they don't really grasp that there's a secret project going on the Department of Energy that's above the military that's really behind this, that is engaging in just really sort of unbelievable experiments on the youth, abuse of youth, and so forth, and that they have produced both Eleven, who is the sort of hero protagonist girl, and her nemesis, Number One, who is the demonically possessed kind of. So in other words, his programming went haywire. So he becomes this ritual murderer figure. He's really behind the murders. And the show continually references where he is and where his domain is in both the spiritual sense and at the secret underground base. It's referenced as Mordor. I thought that was fascinating that you have all these Tolkien-esque references. There's references to things that are emerging right in the middle of the 80s. The internet becomes a big deal. The references are made to the Beast, and that it is really the Beast that is behind this dialectical battle of East versus West. We know that the cop character Hop, who's sort of the surrogate father to Eleven, he's been imprisoned in a Soviet gulag. So a portion of the series is him escaping the Soviet gulags. But really, the main point here is that the actual battle that's going on is a spiritual battle, and the children, sort of this Goonies, you know, group here, they have tapped into what's really going on through the pop culture fiction that they're into. So for example, there's a multiple references to John Carpenter's movies throughout the 80s. A lot of the characters have John Carpenter posters, like The Thing hanging up. They're big fans of John Carpenter's movies. And so in season four, we have a lot of references to the apocalypse, to the end, to this opening of the abyss, again, which is mentioned in the apocalypse of scripture. And the opening of this of the abyss, this sort of hell mouth, this portal, is what's going to allow this evil to be unleashed into our world, into our dimension. Again, very Sauron, very Mordorish here, because Sauron wants to incarnate. But the reason I find this fascinating is just that the children are more hip to what's going on by paying attention to the archetypes and the symbols in pop culture. And so if you don't know, John Carpenter, of course, has a famous trilogy known as the Apocalypse Trilogy. And it's not, they're not directly connected. They're just three movies that he made, which are very apocalyptic in scope and in significance. So there's The Thing, there's Prince of Darkness, and there's In the Mouth of Madness. And they're worth mentioning because, again, I think they're kind of in the subtext of the season, as well as other things like Tolkien, Hellraiser, and Freddy, and so forth. And in the John Carpenter trilogy, you have in The Thing, of course, we have this off-world entity, which is exiled from the heavens, from space, and crashes on our planet and becomes this entity that kind of can kind of take over in a Borg, you know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers way. The Thing, it perfectly mimics everything that we have. And if you go into depth analyzing The Thing, the original Thing came out during the outset of the Cold War as well. John Carpenter's The Thing also has a kind of a Cold War theme to it because one of the characters is thought to be a Soviet, right? And there's a Soviet Western thing going on throughout, chess game that's going on with Kurt Russell and so forth throughout the whole narrative. In the next, in the trilogy, Prince of Darkness, we have explicit references to a cult within the superstructure of the Roman Catholic Church, which is a kind of an inner Gnostic cult that is, if I recall, headed by Donald Pleasance. So Donald Pleasance often plays kind of a secret Gnostic Luciferian priest. If you've ever seen the old pre-Eyes Wide Shut movie, Eye of the Devil, Donald Pleasance plays a Luciferian priest in that as well.
Donald Pleasance is always playing the Luciferian priest who demands the human sacrifice.
Well, in Prince of Darkness, it's no different. I don't think he's a bad guy, but he's just kind of this Gnostic priest that knows what the Roman Catholic Church is really about. And it ties into quantum mechanics and the idea that a portal is going to be opened and that the Antichrist from the future is somehow beaming his transmission back in time through quantum mechanics to the present day. And the show, if you've never seen Prince of Darkness, it's a great 80s B horror movie. But it ends with the entities from the beyond stepping into our domain. Very Lovecraft kind of thing, right? The Cthulhu and these old entities from the beyond stepping into the here and the now. In The Mouth of Madness, exact same thing, right? You have this Stephen King kind of character. Sam Neill is the main guy in that. And he's a writer who has dissociative identity disorder and finds out that he's kind of possessed by this entity from another domain or another dimension. And it's very into the world, very apocalyptic. He becomes a sort of channel for Antichrist, or the spirit of the Antichrist. And he pens this novel, which he, unbeknownst to him, kind of instantiates the end of the world. All of that, again, is referenced and is a subtext in Stranger Things Season 4. And I say all that to, again, not to say that I think we're necessarily at the end of the world or the end of time, but there's always an apocalyptic element to the idea of the Cold War and the Soviets and the U.S., Russia and the West, you know, nuking each other. But what we find in a lot of the fiction that I think is worth looking at and tapping into is the idea that this battle, this dialectic, is being managed at a higher level by a higher power. And this is in a lot of the fiction. If you've never seen the movie 2010, which is the sequel to, you know, the Kubrick Arthur C. Clarke 2001, Arthur C. Clarke was in the circles of the Luciferian elite. So he was writing into those novels what the real plans were, what they really believed. And if you go and watch 2010, you'll find out that the Soviet Western dialectic, the whole point of that was to produce this new aeon. And in 2010, it's an aeon that they explicitly call the Children of Light. It will be the period in which we enter into colonizing space, and it will result out of the clash, the dialectic, right? The nuclear war in 2001 that Starchild ignites, right? This leads to the new era of after a mass depopulation, we'll enter into this new era, right? If you watch The Watchmen, right? Alan Moore, the famous esoteric graphic novel writer, that was a situation that was engineered to massively depopulate the planet out of the Cold War. And then we enter into a new aeon of peace. And in Stranger Things Season 4, the villain, the bad guy, what does he say at the end of Season 4? He says that my goal is to reduce the population.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.